You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
This is episode 786 of the Dressage Radio Show on the Horse Radio Network, brought to you by Kentucky Performance Products. The Dressage Radio Show is the official podcast of the United States Dressage Federation. On tonight's show, Megan and I kick off the show with a Florida season update in conversation with Janae Vaughn to talk about her and Gino's personal best performances at the CDI 5-star this week. Janae shares insight into preparation, mindset, and what it means to achieve top results at the highest level of the sport. Then we chat with Hannah Irons about her experiences this week riding in the Trainers Conference, the FEI Trainers Conference at High Meadow Farms, led by Olympic gold medalist Heike Kemmer and 5-star renowned judge Christoph Umbach. Hannah also reflects on the education atmosphere and the value of learning from world-class horsemen. Hannah will also recap the wildly successful masterclass featuring dressage legends Kira Kirkland, Catherine DeFore, and Jan Brink. They discuss key takeaways, rider impact, and what made this educational event such a standout.
Welcome to the Dressage Radio Show.
This is Reese Koffler-Stanfield from Wellington, Florida.
And I am Megan McIsaac from Murrieta, California, and you're listening to the Dressage Radio Show. Hey, Reese.
Hi, Megan. How are you this week?
Oh, my God. I am so fantastic. This year is amazing. I love this season.
Oh, I love it. Well, we're going to knock on wood, because if anyone remembers Megan's season last year, this is already a huge update. Like, poor thing last year, and everyone in California, we learned all about wildfires. So we are already starting well. I love this, Megan. This is so great. And your new horse is here.
I have a new horse, you guys. He is amazing. He just arrived from Denmark, and he is settling in so well. He, of course, I bribe him. I give him lots of apples.
I love bribery. What are you talking about? I think that's the way you do it.
I usually
don't. Who doesn't bribe their horses?
I don't. For the
I
most
know you
part,
don't. I mean, I give a few cookies. I'm not going to lie. I like a few cookies in my life.
Yeah, here and there. But oh my God, his little face, he's so cute, and he's trying so hard. You know, because in Europe, they mainly have indoors. Yes, they do ride outside, but Denmark's pretty wet. And so
cold.
And cold. And the arena I ride in is just a covered arena, and it is busy. And so if you guys are not familiar with a horse, you're kind of cautious at first. At least I am.
As you should be. I mean, as you should be, for sure.
And he is just, I'm just having so much fun, learning so much from Kathleen. It's amazing. So
tell us about him. Like, I mean, I knew about him, but I don't know if we've talked about him on the show.
I don't think we have. So he is, he's Danish, and he's 17-2 hands.
Oh, he's a big boy.
He is a big boy. He lost a ton of weight. He's starting to plump out. So I'm slowly feeding him. I don't just shove food at him. And I love chestnuts, and he is a liver chestnut.
Oh, gorge. Oh, yes. Love it.
Mm. Yeah. And he loves his little snuggles. He's schooling about pre-St. George. However, I will be honest, we have not worked on that. We are back to basics, Reese.
I love it. Oh, I love back to basics. Oh, I love it. Back to basics are so important. But, you know, but that's true. I mean, here, yes, he's trained to that level, but every rider has their own, and you have to put your own stamp on him. And so, you know, he's had such a big change. And I think, like you said, you have to count that into what's going on. Like, and you didn't go over, right? You had a friend see him.
Correct. It was a very last minute decision. It wasn't necessarily what I wanted, but what in life is, but it was exactly what I needed. And,
I think I said that. I was like, girl, this is going to be so fun. I was like, you called me, and I was like, do it. I'm an enabler. Anybody needs help buying a horse, you call me. They're like potato chips.
I was like, what do you think of him? And you're like, yeah.
I was like, if you don't buy him, I want him. I think that was exactly what I said, actually.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so the last 2 weeks, we like This last week, actually, he's been pretty nervous. Like, there were puddles, there were dogs, all these things. And so, like, I just spent, like, the beginning of the rides just walking around the arena with carrots. Like, this is a good area. This is a good area.
Yeah.
And then today was the first day we started to get serious, and I changed my intentions of, like, okay, now I know him. He, you know, we had a huge tractor go by. We had the dogs, all these things. Now I'm getting confident in him. Now let's see if I can push him a little bit. And we worked on changes, and we just single, not tempies. And also, like, can I hold him in the canter without him changing? Because he's super light, and I'm just going to move up to the next level, Reese. It's really, really exciting. I have to be lighter. It. Yeah.
This it really is so exciting. It is so cool and exciting. That is awesome.
And now tell me about your week, because you had a busy week.
I've had skates on. Yeah. It was a very busy week. So shout out to Isabel Brunker. She is my wonderful student that's here. She actually has been with me. She's my neighbor. And this is her first season in Wellington. And I was like, I need your help this week. Like, this is the week. So I did get my horses ridden. I wouldn't say we rode for the longest period of time, but everybody got, we made it happen.
Wow, you did.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. So starting Monday was the trainers conference, the FEI trainers conference. And it's about 45 minutes from where I am. It's actually, as the crow flies, not that far, like distance wise, but it's harder to get there. So yeah, it's a little further than you think, because I'm on the south side of Wellington, and this is in Loxahatchee, kind of on the north side. So that's a little tricky for me, but it's okay. We worked it out. And so Heike Kemmer and Christoph Umbach were wonderful. You know, just for me to go back and hear German systematic training, I think is so important. And it was just great to hear. And we're going to go into that with Hannah Irons, who rode this year. She actually came on the show last year as well to tell us. So she's going to be great to have on here in the show tonight. And then on Wednesday, all the certified instructors, there's a continuing education meeting in the morning from, I think, 9 to 12, and it's downtown West Palm. And so I went down there, and George Williams and Christine Traurig talked for the first hour, just kind of to inform coaches what's going on with USEF and USDF, which is great, right? I do actually more work for EF. So to hear kind of also how we can kind of combine the two, I think is really, really important. So that was a great discussion. And then Lilo Four and Dr. Jane Manfredi, who was on our show last week, right? Yes.
They jealous.
Oh, she's so good. Oh, anytime you get to see Dr. Jane, she's amazing and really, really cool. And of course, Lilo as well. So I think there was even more to the talk, but you know, you get a bunch of instructors, and you can talk about the walk pirouettes and shoulder in for literally 3 hours. So that was not quite 2 hours, but that was really cool to see her talk and what she had put together. So great learning. Also just some discussions on the certified instructor program in general, which again, we're trying to get more people interested and doing and that kind of thing. So that was really good. And then I came home, and then I did work horses. Actually, I came home, taught some lessons. And then we all went to see the Catherine Dufour, Kira Kirkland, and Jan Brink masterclass. And we're also going to speak about that here later in the show. Amazing experience. I had the honor of my mom actually organized a symposium with Kira. Megan, how many years ago? I mean, that was before the WEG in Kentucky. So the WEG in Kentucky was 2010, and it was a couple of years ahead of time just to kind of help get dressage some exposure. And Kira came over. And so I had met her many years ago, and that was really cool. And just to hear again, she's an amazing instructor, has instructed thousands of riders at this point in her career. And so that was wonderful. And then just to see Catherine Dufour ride, I mean, you just have to sit back. I mean, you're like, I'm literally watching the number one dressage rider. She's currently number one in the world. Yeah. And you just get chills. You're just like, I really want to ride like that when I grow up.
You know? Huge fan.
And just, I would say, Megan, all of everything that happened this week was horses first, systematic riding, kind riding. I think that was really the theme from the whole week. Then I came home and gave my dog some snuggles. And on Thursday, I was the guest chaperone for the Dressage Foundation kiddos, and that was so cool. You know, that was wonderful. So I was with Bobby Carlton, and Bobby's wonderful. We've known each other from, and Megan, you know Bobby also from the Young Horse Trainers Conference. We met years ago, so it was fun to be with her. So in the morning, we started at Judy Sloan's barn with David Marcus, who we also know, and he coached Molly Maloney. And Molly's a trainer from up north, so shout out to Molly. She was wonderful, and it was really fun to see her. And then we went back to Global, and we were able to speak with Allie Brock, Olivia LaGoy-Welts, Sarah Lee Tubman, Heather Peterson, Katie Pogue, and actually Kira and Richard, Kira Kirkland and Richard White, her husband, were literally sitting right next to us. So I, you know, being me, went up and introduced myself again, and she was so kind, and that was so fun. And she also came and talked to the kids for a little bit. And we got to watch the five-star Grand Prix, which was in the evening on Thursday. Yeah. So when I tell you, I was exhausted by the time Sunday came around. I was not kidding.
And how are you now? Are you rested? Like,
No. No, I'm still rolling. That's okay. That's all right. We're still doing. And then Friday night was the freestyles. So that was really wonderful. So it was just an amazing, amazing week. It really was. It was really cool. There was so much going on. That was so fun. So yeah, it was a great week. And if anyone was down here, I hope you enjoyed your time. The weather was actually pretty nice. It was actually a little warm. And we got a shout out to everybody up north. I mean,
we have to. Reese, it was negative 55 on Friday. My girls are taking the best care of our horses. I mean, and the horses, they're amazing creatures.
Because they are.
One of the reasons I'm in California is I'm allergic to cold weather. And the horses are so happy. Like, they're bouncing around. I'm getting videos. I'm getting reports. And they're thrilled to be outside in it. It's insane. It's
crazy, isn't it?
Absolutely crazy. Insane.
Crazy. I don't even know what one says. You know, like, that's crazy. Yeah. So, yeah. But shout out to everybody up there. I mean, it is no joke. I mean, you know, we're down here and yeah, I feel for everyone. All my horses are not in Kentucky right now. So, you know, they're all here. So, yeah, but I'm thinking about you guys, everybody. I mean, it's negative one in my house right now. So,
wow.
Yeah, I know. My husband even took the cats inside. my boys are—they're in the tack room. They have made it into the heat. It was too cold for them.
Well, that's
take my boys in.
That's what happened with my burritos, my little kittens. So, my student Lisa took them home with her for 4 days.
The burritos went home.
The burritos went to Lisa Hotel. Yeah,
I love it.
It was great.
I love it. I know. It is so wonderful. So shout out to everybody up north. I mean, you guys, we really are thinking about it. Megan and I really do have the pleasure of being where it's warm. But if you're, oh gosh, we're thinking about you as you guys are listening to us and we're cheering you on. Seriously, you're
every day
stronger than me. So I'm not that strong anymore.
Every day.
So shout out to everybody up north. We're thinking about you for sure. But we're going to try and bring some warmth and some fun of dressage wealth and knowledge from down here in Florida and California. But we're going to have a quick break from Kentucky Performance Products. And we're coming back with a great interview with Janae Vaughn. She is so inspiring. We hope you enjoy.
Are you seeing any of the following signs of vitamin E deficiency in your horse? Stiff, sore muscles, neurological issues, lack of energy, poorly developed top line, weak immune system? Studies show that vitamin E levels drop when horses don't have access to fresh green grass. Elevate Natural Vitamin E can help. A research-proven powerful antioxidant, Elevate maintains healthy muscle, nerve, and immune functions. It does this by delivering highly bioavailable sources of natural vitamin E that is preferentially absorbed and retained in a horse's tissues. Elevate comes in four formulas: a fast-acting, water-soluble liquid, a maintenance powder for long-term care, a concentrated veterinary formula powder, and a vitamin E and selenium powder. For more information, visit kppusa.com or call 859-873-2974.
Well, you guys know I love KPP. They sponsor me and my horses also personally, and my horses look amazing, and it's from all their wonderful products, but also their great team behind them, and we're so thankful for them. Well, tonight we are so happy to have Janae Vaughn, five-star rider from this week with a personal best. And wow, it was wonderful to watch her ride her Gino here in Wellington. Janae, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, first of all, tell everyone, you're from California, but you're here in Wellington, right?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Tell us, you know, their strategy here and what you're up to, and tell us a little bit about that.
So actually, I drove after the first World Cup qualifier at the Desert Horse Park. I drove 4 days with my friend Alex, who flew in from Wellington to California, and we drove and we arrived on Christmas. I'm staying at my friend's beautiful farm called Arian Farm in Loxahatchee, and it's been great so far. I've gotten 2 shows down, and it's been really nice.
How long do you get to stay in Florida?
So that's the part I don't know yet. It's kind of just taking it show by show and seeing how everything pans out and making the schedule as we go. It's a long season, so trying to just take it as we go.
It is a long season. I think that's so kind of talk about that, because that is for the CDI horses. It is so long. So tell us a little bit, like, how do you strategize that? Because you've had Gino now for a long time, haven't you?
Yeah, my mom has owned him since he's been 6. So we've had him a long time. And I think the strategy for me is just, you know, you kind of have to find the way to keep them fit, but not to overwork them. At least that's my training philosophy is, you know, he spends a lot of time outside. He goes on the walker every day, goes in the paddock every day for majority of the day. And then I just train him 4 days a week. And I think that's been a good balance between keeping him fit enough to do, you know, these hard tests like the Grand Prix and the special and the freestyle. But also, you know, I really want him to go well into a long age, an old age, and have longevity. So it's just finding that balance between keeping them fit, but having a happy horse that can last a long time.
And do you find that your riding changes for a CDI 5-star? Like, how do you mentally prepare for that? Like, what are the pressures?
No, I think I try to tell myself it's just another show. You know, my goal is to get the feeling that I have at home and show that in the ring. And I feel like we're just getting so close to, you know, reaching that. And that's really exciting for me. And to just have fun and to make progress each show. And I feel like that's really happening. So I don't change anything. I do the same preparation. I have my same routines. I, you know, try to eat a lot of protein in the morning, try to stay real relaxed. I braid him, I groom him, and I get him ready before the show. We have our routine and we just go out there and we have fun.
And how do you support him with the pressure of a 5-star environment? Because it's pretty electric, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, I think it's just been good showing in California. We go to so many different venues, which is a little bit different than Florida, you know. Mm-hmm. You have so many weeks that you can just stay at Global if you want. But in California, we do Del Mar. We do the Desert Horse Park. You have Galway Downs. There's so many different stadiums that you can go to. And I think that's been really good for him. And then, of course, at home, I was just telling someone today that we did some show prep before the World Cup final where my mom would play the haka on like full blast in the indoor. And I would create a big fake camera with a massive chewy box and a black garbage bag and put it on a tripod. And like, that was our massive video camera. And we just like did silly things to try to get him desensitized. And so far it's worked. So I think it's been a good plan.
So, I mean, I can imagine going into that ring, even for the Grand Prix on Thursday, it was packed. I think it was even more packed on Thursday than Friday. Yeah. I think. I mean, there were a lot of people, and people are eating dinner, like chatting. It was actually, you guys had it pretty quiet when you were riding, but how do you, that is a tough venue, and Global's tight, right? Like, I always found that was challenging.
I think the biggest thing for me was just like keeping my focus and, you know, just staying in my zone. I didn't even notice the people until after, you know, because you're so focused on what you're supposed to be doing. I think that was pretty good. And then we already did the World Cup qualifier the week or like 2 weeks before that. And it was super packed. Yes. And there was tons of screaming after everyone's ride. So he handled that like a champ.
Yeah.
I think yeah. I was like, after that, I was like, you know, he's good.
He's good. And yes. That one was tough because it was like the first week, wasn't it? I mean, it was super early. And so everyone was pumped. Like the whole stadium was bumping. It was fun for us.
It was full. Yeah, it was super full.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. So I love that. So what's the goal? Because this season is really long, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really long. So that's where I'm kind of just taking it show by show. And if I can qualify for World Cup, that would be amazing. If I also get the chance to qualify for WEG, that would be incredible. But I'm not going to try and force everything or, you know, like try to chase tons of shows down to make it happen, because I just think if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. So we're just taking it show by show and hopefully it's meant to be. And if not, then we can do other things, you know?
I love that. I love it. Because in theory, you have the World Cup and then there's a head-to-head finals for dressage for the Grand Prix in May. Am I making that up?
Yes. Yeah, there is. You're right, Reese.
Yep. And then you go to Europe. I mean, so you really have to be careful. So I love hearing
you have
that.
To be like super careful. And for me, it causes a lot of travel. You know, I had to come here for this World Cup qualifier. And then I have to figure out if I'm going to stay here for this World Cup qualifier, if I'm going back to California. But at the end of the day, I have to go back to California at some point because my whole business is there.
Yeah.
I have all my clients, all my other horses, you know, a farm to take care of where I'm one of the main employees. We do not have a big team. So it's really hard to like go away from it for a long period of time. And then in May, they have the head-to-head where they would want you to come back even if you were to make the World Cup final per se. So then you like fly to Texas and then you would have to fly also to, you know, Florida again and then go to Europe from there. So it's just, I just have to take it show by show I think we'll figure out the plan as it goes and see what the best fit is, but it's kind of whatever is meant to be will be, you know.
I love that. Well, and I think that's so important to that everybody understands. It's so hard because like you said, you have a business to run too. And qualifying at this stage is so hard. It's so expensive and you're away from your business. So it's even more of a hardship in a way.
Yes, exactly. That is the thing is that I do not have the type of business where I think people on the East Coast can kind of convince their clients to come with them for the winter, you know, but a lot of my clients have families and jobs and things that they can't leave for, you know, months at a time. So it's like you're leaving everything that allows you to make a living and you have to go off, you know, so it's kind of hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really difficult, but you know, you're doing such beautiful things. Your riding is amazing.
And thank you.
We're so excited to keep following you, girl. We're going to be following you on this whole journey. And how can our listeners, you know, find you online and follow your journey?
I think Instagram, I've been trying to be really good about my Instagram and keep people in the loop. So definitely can search my name. It's spelt with a G, which is kind of different. And then, yeah, I'll do my best to keep you guys updated.
I would love that. Well, I'm going to see you around town. And we saw each other in the Dover. We were in Dover. Right. It was so fun. I was like, hey, what you doing on Monday?
Right? In Wellington, you can see everybody.
Yeah,
it's so great. Grocery store, we can run into each other.
Yeah, exactly. Don't worry. I was in Publix earlier. I'll see you there next week. But for sure. Well, Janae, thank you again. And your writing's beautiful and we're really excited to have you. So we're going to watch you and cheer you on.
Oh, thank you.
For first-time horse owners and new riders just starting out, finding the information and support you need can be challenging. That's why Equine Network has partnered with Sentinel Feed to bring you My New Horse, a place where equestrians just getting into horse ownership or riding will find the resources and community they need at precisely their stage of the equine journey. From important horsekeeping information and how-to videos to social media communities and more, My New Horse is your one-stop shop for riders of all levels and disciplines who are eager to find easy-to-understand horse care information and guidance. Start your horse ownership journey today. Visit mynewhorse.com.
Tonight, we are so happy to have back on the show by popular demand, Hannah Irons. She rode in last year's Trainers Conference and this year's Trainers Conference. Hannah, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Reese. It's a pleasure. And well, I can't wait to share what I've learned. And also, yeah, it was such an inspiring week last week here in Wellington. We're very lucky to have all this amazing education like 10 minutes from us. So yeah, I can't wait to share a little bit about what I've learned.
I love it. I know you had great notes and I was like, Hannah, you
need I am a Linden student after all. Always will be. I try.
Yes, exactly. You came to the Linden
Grant program.
Yes. She did. Well, Hannah, tell us about your wonderful horse. He's now 7, right?
He's coming 6.
He's coming 6. Okay.
Yes. E.T. is his name. I bought him as a just turned 3-year-old in Germany. He was in the Westfalen online auction. And it was like, I think it was just like Culver had just finished. I was actually kind of looking for a sale horse. I bought him off a video. He didn't pass the stallion licensing. So I was like, oh, so I didn't go for that much money. I'm like, oh, it's a perfect sale horse. Like, he's cute. I liked his bloodlines. He's Escamillo, Sandro Hit. Imported him the spring of his 3-year-old year and started with him. And I would say he really, like, he always had like a 10 character, just like so willing. And even as a 3-year-old, I could take him after a couple days off and like by myself gallop out in the field. Like, he was always that easy. But he really, as far as the dressage potential, he really kind of blossomed in the last year. Now he's not for sale. He's my baby.
You're like, not going anywhere.
Anyway, I think
like, nope.
Yeah. So I think I'll be able to. My goal is to keep him on developing to the FEI. We did the FEI 5-year-olds and went to Lamplight this year. So that was really fun. It was my first time showing in the young horse division there. And it's so cool to see all the horses of different levels, the best of our country in one spot. So that was a really inspiring week in August. And he was such a good boy at the Trainers Conference. Like, I can always count on him. Like, I would always, like, the horses that I would apply for the Trainers Conference, like, they have to be, like, reliable. And like,
yes,
there's a lot of people there, right? So it's not a good place.
And it's always cold.
It's always cold.
Like,
it's,
if anyone
so
comes,
windy. Yeah,
it's always windy and always cold. And they have to, you know, there's not any horses around. Well, there's some, like, kind of, but they're the only horse in like 300 people. Like,
yes.
He was amazing.
And I rode him in it last year also. It was like a 4-coming 5-year-old. He was also very good. So yeah, he's one of the only young horses I would even consider like volunteering for that, because he is such a saint.
So cool.
Yeah, he was a really good boy this week. I was very proud of him.
Aww. And what was one concept that you immediately changed how you rode your horses?
I really liked how they prioritized like the basics right from the beginning on every horse at the Trainers Conference. Like, they were not there to, you know, impress the audience with like exercises and fancy movements and show trot. Like, every single horse, regardless if they were, you know, mine was the youngest and or like the Grand Prix, you know, demonstration horse, everyone like had a stretch and the walk, trot, and canter. And they did that until they improved that stretch. And like, you know, they really wanted like the level neck and just normal gaits. Like, they didn't want the like passage-y kind of built-in, you know, show trot. They just wanted like clear rhythm, walk, trot, canter from the start, every horse regardless of their training. So I thought that was refreshing to see a trainer still, you know, really making that a priority and giving the horse time to use their top line and develop the correct muscles before they're picked up and asked for, you know, more collection. I hadn't stretched, like, she really, Heike really wanted them stretching in the canter too, which was a little bit of a, I hadn't done that a ton with ET. I'd mostly just done it at the trot in the beginning of my ride and towards the end, mostly because I had a, like, fear that he, because sometimes he can be a little bit downhill tendency. He has this big canter and really jumping hind leg, and I'm always trying to kind of keep the balance up in the canter to help him as he gets stronger and help him with his balance as a, you know, very big moving baby horse. But she didn't care. She was like, wanted him like long, low, and forward. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm never getting his head up. But I must say, like, she just had me cantering like that until she wanted them like really feel like they were breathing through their whole body, which I thought was a good description. And I must say, especially, you know, being in a new place, and he was kind of like, rightfully so, just a, you know, a little holding at first, it did help him relax, I think, over his top line and use himself a little quicker, I think, than if I had done my normal warm up. So I think moving forward, like at a show situation, that would be super helpful.
That is really cool. No, it's so true. I mean, I think that the basics were just highlighted, and that was so cool. And I mean, kept at it and kept at it and kept
every
at it.
Horse, until, every and then, like, and kind of throughout the ride too, like you'd then do some, I don't know, you know, shoulder in half pass, and then you're back to stretching at the canter, like multiple times through the ride. So I thought that was really cool to see.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it was great. Any other takeaways that you saw from any of the other riders?
She was also like super diligent about like the rider's seat being in the middle. And not falling off to the outside. Yes. I think big all time. Of us got picked on for that. Which
yes. I feel for you because that's a young horse thing too, right? You ride a lot of young horses and sometimes they just don't carry the saddle the same way.
Yes.
And she really, man, a couple of them, she really hammered on.
Yes. So making sure to, you know, have people watch you from behind and watch your video, make sure you're helping the horse out with their balance and not hindering them. Another thing she was really into, like, which I very much agree on, is she was always like, leave it while it's good. Right. If just because, you know, you did a couple good steps, then she'd be like, praise them and like stretch again, instead of like going more, more, more. Like the second day she had me start on some little schooling pirouette ideas with ET, which I hadn't actually done. Like I had brought him back in the canter and then like go forward, like more like towards pirouette canter. But she had me do that on a circle and an add in haunches in. Which was a little bit, I was like, okay, well, we'll see if you can do this in public for the first time. This is great.
Yeah, you're like, no problem.
Surprisingly, at all, he, like, seemed to understand, I think, because he kind of already understood the haunches in, and I had done some forward and back. And she was really just went for, like, two or three steps, and she really prioritized as he was learning something new. She was like, the most important thing is that he doesn't climb up with his neck. So she wanted the neck to stay flat and long. And just get like two or three steps, and then she would like say, leave it while it's good. Yeah, I think we can all apply that, so regardless of what we're teaching our horse, right? Like whether they're learning shoulder in or a transition or flying changes also, right? Like they get a clean one, like quit for the day. Don't be like, oh, well, it could have been, you know, a little straighter, a little this or a little that. His horse is just, you know, they learn what they practice, right? So it's kind of cool to see, you know, top trainers really sticking to that belief, even when there's the, you know, they must have so much pressure from the audience to, you know, prove things and demonstrate and keep the audience engaged. But even in that situation with 300 people, they still were like looking out for the horse's best interests, which is really cool to see.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah. And you talked about that. There's so many people, both you and Reese talked about, there's so many people. What's it like to ride knowing that there are top trainers, educators, as well as the clinicians watching you, analyzing you every step? And it sounds like you were nervous. How do you deal with that? And it's your second year.
Honestly, I think once I'm on, I don't really think about it. Like obviously going into it, I'm like, oh, I hope he's, you know, it dropped like 30 degrees. I'm like, oh, I hope he's not like spooking at people. It's kind of embarrassing. But honestly, usually just like at a show, I'm always like, once I'm on the horse, I kind of just forget about it. And I'm fortunate not to be one that gets nervous easily, or, you know, obviously we all feel pressure, but I kind of just think, you know, they're going to judge you regardless, right? Whether you're amazing or...
Well, they're not out there.
Everyone's
they're not out
everyone,
there.
Right? It's human nature to
they're not
judge
out there.
Others, but...
Yeah. Megan and I have also done events like that, and they're not out there. You come on out here with us.
Yes.
Serfs are adjustable.
Yes, they are.
I think of it benefits more people than... you know, people that are probably going to maybe be critical.
Plus, you ride beautifully, and your horse is lovely.
Oh, thank you.
He had musical notes on his tushy.
He did.
It was so cute.
I have it made some people smile. I don't know.
Yeah, it was so good.
They were criticized, and they could just look at, oh, cool clip pattern.
Well, and I also really enjoyed Christoph Umbach. I don't know if you heard this.
He didn't teach me too much in my lesson, but I did enjoy his little judge's perspective thrown in.
Yeah, he even had some trainer perspectives. I think one thing that I took away in my notes was, you know, he said as a coach, you should come in with three things. Your first thing is you should say something positive. Mm-hmm. Your second thing is you are looking at what you need to fix. And the third thing is you fix the problem.
Oh, I really like that. Yeah,
I did too. I was like, yeah, one, like two, three.
Yeah.
Positive, figure out what the problem is and fix the problem. And I thought, well, that's great. You know, so that was one thing that I took away in my notes that I really enjoyed. So, but I also think, you know, again, going through the scale of training, you know, how important that is and talking about that. I think that was also one thing that Heike always was on the rhythm. She was always on the relaxation and suppleness, which was good. So I thought that was a really interesting. And it was a really good conference.
And for both of you, how important do you feel these opportunities like this are to develop our riders in the United States?
I think it's great. I think USDF, it's so hard. This country is very big. But I think USDF really and other programs are really trying to, you know, kind of consolidate our trainers and make it more easily accessible and, you know, diverse educational opportunities in one place. So I think the more, you know, people get involved and the more, you know, we get outside opinions from, you know, trainers from Germany or whatever, I think it's really great for our country. Because I think especially people up north and, you know, the horrible weather they're experiencing right now. It's got to be really difficult, I feel, for you guys to stay inspired. So I think, you know, giving people the opportunity to come down and learn a lot and be inspired in the warmth or watch it online, I think the more of that we can do, the better. And especially with trainers that really prioritize correct basics. So, you know, dressage is getting, you know, it's under so much scrutiny right now, unfortunately, and sometimes getting a bad rap. So I think the more we can promote through social media and things like the FI Trainers Conference, like good riding and good classical training, I think it definitely helps our sport stay in the good, going in a good direction and viewed more positively by the world.
I love that. Beautifully said. If there's a time that you ever want to come to Wellington, that's actually the time to come, because also we didn't even talk about Lyndon Gray also hosted a Dressage for Kids on Monday night with Allie Brock, Adrian Lyle, Lars Peterson, and Christoph Kaschel. And we didn't even talk about that, Megan.
Yeah, that was a fun night, too.
That was also a really fun night. That was Monday night. So if there's ever a time you want to come to Wellington, it is for the Trainers Conference. Like, really do put that on your schedule because, like Hannah said, it's our time to get together as a country and trainers. You do have to hit certain marks for that conference, but it is great. And they build in time for lunch and time to chat. And it is a really important, and you can meet a lot of people there. So I think it's a really important event. And that was good. And then usually D4K does an event in the evening, which is typically it's for donation, but you can give $5 if you can. And it's also wonderful. So there's just a lot that goes on that week. That's what, you know,
yes, we're sure. talking about.
So we're going to change gears because Hannah, again, talking about so many things that went on. We had the Trainers Conference, Lyndon's Dressage for Kids lecture, and then on Wednesday night we all had an amazing masterclass, didn't we?
Yes, I think so, I could talk all night about that.
Yes, so tell us, like, we changed gears.
Sleeping.
Yeah, Hannah, I saw her notes online, and I was like, oh, she's our girl, many levels, but I gotta grab her. So, Hannah, tell us about that event. So, different event. Now we're moved on to midweek. So, tell us about that one.
Yes, so it was a couple hours Wednesday evening at Global, the main showgrounds in Wellington. And Kira Kirkland, Catherine DeFore, and Jan Brink flew in to treat us all to their amazing magic. Yeah.
Scandinavian magic.
I don't know, probably 8 pages of notes. I think, yeah, they just, it was such a positive and very, I would say, super simple and easy to follow lecture. Like, I mean, sorry, not lecture, but like for as an audience member, like, just so much information, but like everyone could understand it. Even if you weren't, you know, an FEI trainer, I think anyone that went to that night could take something away and leave inspired and feeling, you know, optimistic and good about themselves and good about their horses. So it was a super inspiring night. And they're, you know, they have such a good sense of humor, which also is helpful.
Yeah, they were really funny. They were really so funny. And Catherine DeFore was really funny.
And so just like honest about everything, right? Yeah. They're like, you know, not everything is perfect. It's hard. And, you know, Catherine would be like, you know, Kira was talking about keeping your elbows in and not having like chicken arms. And Catherine would be like, that's me. I mean, one of the best riders in the world is like, you know, humble.
Literally, right? Number one
I
in the world.
I also stick my elbows out when I'm riding. So,
yeah.
don't we all? But it was just, it was fun to see for sure.
Yeah, that was really cool. So keep going on your notes because it's amazing.
Yeah. So a couple things here. I really liked how Kira, like, she was very into kind of having analogies and helping the rider. She called them like shortcuts. I don't know if I love that word, but to help the rider find the basically the correct feel a little bit easier, right? Because you can tell she was like, it takes 5,000 repetitions to change a bad habit. So you could tell the person.
I even heard 10. I've heard 10,000.
I've heard 10. It takes a long time.
So, yes. Yeah.
So for example, you know, instead of telling the rider, like, put your elbows in, like, you know, 10 times per lesson and hope that, you know, in 10,000 lessons they figure it out. She would, you know, have them ride with a polo, just like a polo, like in their left rein under the horse's belly and then hold on the other side in their right rein. So they could kind of take, feel the contact, pull a little bit up on the polo and help them sit deeper and kind of automatically put their elbows in. So that was really cool. She was like, basically, you know, you can't dressage, you really have to feel it before you can really understand it, right? She was like, explained it like, if you've never tasted strawberry jam, right, you could like explain to someone, well, you know, it's got little seeds and it's a little sweet and a little sour, but until you've actually tasted the strawberry jam, you can't really compare it to like what it really is. Same with dressage, right? If you're trying to sit deep or ride a correct half halt. So she was used lots of different things to help the rider. She also, with like a thin leather dog leash, she basically made a neck strap and would have the rider mostly in their outside rein, hold that to kind of, again, keep the contact, you know, keep their outside hand quiet and close to the neck and stable. So if the horse was like, let's say, strong in one, the left rein, she would have them hold the neck strap in the right rein and then do the half halts on the, you know, take the empty rein and then do half halts and be elastic on the strong rein. So that was really cool. And again, instead of telling the rider 100 times, don't pull on the left rein, you know, we all want to pull on the strong side. You know, instead she kind of helped the rider balance that out. And I mean, even like Catherine, like, you know, she would have her ride with, and I've seen also through their like Instagram, Catherine does a good job of posting little educational tidbits. I'd recommend any of you guys follow her. Anyway, like if I always say, like, if sometimes when I'm teaching, I'll use a little, you know, strap for your wrists or something. And sometimes I think people think, oh, she's giving that to me because I'm a bad rider. And I'm like, no, it's to help you. Like, we all can benefit from it. Like, if Catherine DeFore and Kira can, you know, benefit, we definitely can.
No, so and I think, to see that was so cool. And she also took a polo wrap. And this is a very, it's the same thing with Kira. She takes a polo wrap and she puts it under the horse's girth up to your hands. And it forces you to kind of put your hands there. And again, Catherine yes. DeFore is like, I live with this thing. Yes. And you're like, yeah, she's number one in the world. I think I should do that more. Yeah. You know, I think that's really cool. And I think that those aids have become, because again, you can feel it. And I thought that was so important because literally the strawberry jam was such a good analogy because we're all like, we can taste strawberry jam.
Yes.
You can taste it.
You know,
you knew what she was talking about. Yeah. So that was cool.
Yeah. I also thought it was a good point. She said, I don't like in my teaching, Kira said, I don't use the term like more C or in front of the leg. She said, she basically said, I don't know what that means. And if you really think about it, like, yes, we think we know what that means, but when we're teaching, so many teachers are just like, use more seat or half halter, get them in front of the leg. But it's not like simple enough and not detailed enough. Like it's basically, she said, everything has to have like a how, what, and why. So I thought that was important to ask ourselves as like a teacher, you know, is, you know, are we just telling the student what the end result is or like helping them find the how they're going to do it? Not just like use more seat, like instead, you know, she would have them like pull themselves deeper with the polo wrap, for example. So I thought that was an important because we all get in the habit of just assuming that the rider knows what we're talking about and knows what the correct feel is. But at the end of the day, it probably needs to be broken down into more simple steps.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was really good. And Catherine DeFore said that it's so funny. She said, close your bra strap.
Yes.
You said that a lot. I think that's been said in Wellington probably a million times this last week. Everyone's like, close your bra strap.
Yeah, that was a really good one also.
Yeah.
And they were also just, I thought it was cool how it was very much like, even when Catherine, we were fortunate, she rode one of, I'm not sure what horse it was, but we got to watch her ride a horse. It was like, she had ridden it like 5 minutes that morning. So it was, you know, completely new to her and how well she worked with that horse. And I thought it was cool how, like, very much, like, quick little breaks and then, like, a little pressure on and then another break and then a little pressure on and a little break. So much we, you know, if it feels good, we just want to keep going and going and going. And Catherine was like, and just because it is going well doesn't mean you should keep going. Like, give them a little break, even if it's, you know, 20 seconds. So I thought that was a good reminder. And she's like, I didn't really realize quite how important that was until I started working out in the gym. And I also feel that, like, you know, if you're doing 5 good reps and then your instructor says now 5 more, you're like, oh, I can't, right? So we never want the horse to feel defeated or tired or feel like they're struggling. And then also, which I hadn't really thought of it going together, like taking the little breaks, it really teaches the horse to relax in between, right? Because we all have to do that extended walk or free walk regardless of what level we're at. So if you practice that at home, she was like, you know, if not just getting lucky that, oh, hopefully he stretches and takes a breath and walks well, right? If you practice that at home every day, that you can, you know, do a little Piaf passage and then walk totally relaxed on a long rein and do a little Piaf passage, you know, you won't have to hope that you get lucky at the horse show. So I thought that was a really good point. And she did such a good job. She was just so positive in rewarding that horse and every little try that he did. And you could really see him, you know, not knowing her as a rider, really click in and give his all for her. So that was really inspiring to see.
It was. You were like, yeah, okay, she's number one in the world. Like everyone, the whole global was quiet and it was packed. Everyone was like watching it. It was so cool. And it looked like from the outside, it looked so simple, but it was really quite something to watch. It was really cool. Gave you chills. You were like, wow. Okay.
And I read somewhere there were 2,000 spectators. That is incredible.
Oh, wow, that's amazing.
Oh, it was packed. You couldn't get a seat. You could not get a seat. If one went up on Facebook, it was sold within a second. It was amazing.
That warms my heart.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It's really hard to fill clinics, and 2,000 people came to see, obviously, they're legends, but that is fantastic.
Yeah,
kudos to the organizers.
And they've sold out. They sold out in Europe too. I mean, they sell this out a lot, and which is cool. And it was really, really cool to see.
Yeah, it was definitely probably one of the best clinics I've ever audited.
Yeah, sure. it was really cool.
Another really good analogy I thought she had was, did you guys hear about the one about the basketball? She was like, if you're struggling to sit the trot, like so many people are like, sit deep or sit back or pull yourself in. And she was actually saying to let yourself leave the saddle on the bouncy horses and focus on bouncing and swinging back down into the trot. Because if you try to like sit down all the time, you'll push the back down and then it just gets harder and harder to sit. And she used like as a description, like think about like dribbling a basketball like across the court, right? The hand has to follow the bounce up and then down. And if you meet the ball too soon, then you're just going to like make the ball go flat and you're going to not be able to bounce it again. So I thought, to keep the bounce, your hand has to kind of come up and down and up and down. Also with sitting a trot on a big moving horse, instead of just trying to sit in all the time and then you're going to stop that swing in their back. And then if you stop the swing in the back and the back gets tight, then you're going to even have a harder time sitting the trot. So I thought that was such a great analogy to use for riding and teaching.
You're like, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because like, I don't know, it's our instinct as human, like you're bouncing around or you feel like you can't find your seat bones or you're like, oh, I got to use more core. I got to, sit my seat bones down. But sometimes you just have to kind of think, go with a horse, bounce with a horse, swing with a horse, and then sit in and find the middle instead of forcing it so much.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. Hannah, was there anything else that you want to share with us?
I would say one more kind of theme. It kind of goes a little bit from the trainers conference. And also, Kira actually is who said it, but it also was very much true for the trainers conference. She was like, we got to make sure on these young horses, like ask ourselves, are you educating a Grand Prix horse? Or are you just running it around fast to do, a couple young horse classes and, maybe, make it to the championships? And then Kira joked, then she's like, then nobody even will remember you after that.
Yeah, exactly. You were like, ouch, that one hurt.
But basically, like, there's so much pressure, riding quality babies to, get them trotting better and bigger and bigger and make it to Lamplight, even if they're not ready. But at the end of the day, you got to ask yourself, what is this horse going to be like in 5 years? Like, what am I? Am I developing a horse for this summer or in 5 years? And what do I want the horse, soundness and like mentally and rideability wise, like, right, a horse that I'm only kind of temporarily making for this summer versus a horse that hopefully will do the Grand Prix in, five or whatever, how many years. I thought that was just a really important reminder that we all have to, the young horse classes are great. And I think if you have the right horse, like I'm all about it. But I thought that was a really good way to think about it. Like every day, down the road, is this transition good enough for the Grand Prix or am I just auction trotting it around?
Yeah, I love it. Well, Hannah, you have been the best. This has been so fun. Thank you so much for all of your amazing notes. And thank you for letting us jump on because I was like, oh my God, she did a great job. So how can our listeners find you online if they have any more questions and also about ET and all your wonderful, you have a lot of other amazing horses as well.
Oh yeah, of course. I'm on Facebook and Instagram. I'd say I'm more active on Facebook, just Hannah Irons, and it's kind of more of a business account, mostly horse stuff. I'm also can be, my email is hannahironsdressage@gmail.com. I'm always happy to help in any way I can, or would love to meet any of you. I'm in Wellington for the next 4 months, and then I'm based out of Maryland the rest of the year. So, yes, it's been a pleasure. Thank you, Reese and Megan. This is really fun. And, I hope we can talk again in the future.
Oh, girl, we will. Don't you worry. I love those note-taking skills.
I'll keep it up.
I love it. Have a great rest of your night. Go. You've had a busy day. Thanks so much for your time. And we can't wait to talk to you soon.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Want to reach a passionate, engaged audience of horse lovers?
The Horse Radio Network, with thousands of listeners worldwide, offers unique sponsorship opportunities to connect your brand with horse owners, riders, and enthusiasts. Over 90% of our listeners have bought a product from a HRN ad in the past year. Partner with HRN and take your brand to the next level. Visit www.horseradionetwork.com/advertise today.
Well, Megan, I know it's very cold up north, and if people want the book club, because it's coming, and this is a good one to read, what should we be reading?
You should read How to Ride the Horse You Thought You Bought by Anne Buchanan.
I love it. I love it. I have mine sitting right here. It is literally, as you guys heard, my week was not conducive to any kind of reading or anything other than watching and sleeping. But next week, it's on my desk. I can't wait to get started. So I'm really looking forward to it. So as always, we love our book club, and you guys continue enjoying and getting together as a group. That just makes us so happy. If you're not yet subscribed, do it now. Just search Dressage Radio Show on your favorite podcast player. You can join the fun. It's a supportive community of the Horse Radio Network auditors on Patreon. You'll get behind-the-scenes insights, special offers, and opportunities to participate in Horse Radio Network podcasts. Go to patreon.com/horseradionetwork. The Dressage Radio Show Facebook page is the Dressage Radio Show. My website is maplecrestfarmky.com, and my email is reese@horseradionetwork.com.
And my website is lindenhoff.com, and my email is lindenhoffllc@gmail.com. We'd like to thank our friends and show sponsors, Kentucky Performance Products. Keep on kicking on until the next show. Talk to you soon.